that gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
Not for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all point buttons. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
New world order.
Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Well, good evening, good afternoon, good morning, depending on what time you're listening to this replay or whether you're listening to it live. It is 5:01 p.m. Pacific time. You got to figure out that where that puts you in the time frame. And this is the Dutch Jones radio program. We're coming to you live right now from the little Commonwealth of Cahuilla in Central California, right here in the foothills of the Sierra Nevadas. I look out the window here of the studio. I'm going to regret moving the studio over to where we're living now. We don't have as good a view. We're like in a bunkhouse. We got a bunker. We got little tiny windows. Go ahead, Luke. And right now I've got a $1 billion view out my window. This property that I'm on would be worth a fortune if they ever wanted to sell it to some hippy-dippy liberal who wanted to put a 3,000-square-foot McMansion on it just because of the view. But instead, they let us use it. Well, they don't let us use it. We're allowed to use it. And we are blessed with the view that we have here in our studio today. Lou just had to run out. It is Wednesday, which means we have a Bible study this evening on America's Providential History. So Lou has to go down and set up El Camera and get that ready so we can videotape that. And then we'll be taking off right after this show to run down the hill so we can upload it. Upload the audio portion, not the video portion. Although we could do that someday, I suppose. But right now we just don't. We're just doing audio. You folks can burn a CD and drive around in your car and do it. Got a few comments about yesterday's show. Thank you so much. Tried to make it topical, feasible, and practical, and share with you what's going on inside my skull of mush so that I can maybe help you guys not make the same mistakes that I've been involved in. That's the whole purpose of the show. This is the militant Christian worldview, or Christian militant worldview, depending on how you like to say it. And I like to share with you folks some just key basic building blocks. Hello, Mary. She's in the chat room. She says she's doing some cleaning, so she's not going to be chatty. Thank you very much. And Scotty's in there, and Olima's in there, and Warland's in there, Conj44, and a couple of guests. So the chat room is good. And where is that chat room? Well, that chat room is on ubroadcast.com. You go to ubroadcast.com and click search Dutch Jones, and you'll find me. If you look at live channels, we'll pop up there. We're on the top on the live channels. There are very few live shows anymore. They have over 900 and some radio feeds or audio feeds on ubroadcast, and we're ranked number 21 out of all those for number of listeners, for ratings, for that kind of thing. But we don't necessarily know where everywhere we're going. So, because people can embed those players. And you can also hear us at DutchJones.tk. That's a good place there to pick it up. We're on Facebook and MySpace. And I think Warland joined me on Facebook today. I think he sent me a friend request. thank you for not being chatty. Too funny. it's good not to be chatty sometimes. Sometimes we just get to listen. I know that's hard coming from a guy like me, but when I'm not here, I just shut up and look at people and let them talk. Let them mesh out their things. I learn more by listening than I do by talking, and then I take it all here for 2 hours and just gab away. Spent the day, as usual, reading news reports and articles on the internet. Went out and obtained some grub and watched some training videos today. Watched the Cold Steel knife fighting training videos that they put out. Cold Steel, of course, makes a higher end knife. They have a bunch of different ones, and I've never bought anything from them because I can't afford their products. But I got to tell you, their training videos are not very good. They spent about 5 to 8 minutes showing them just beating each other with pieces of PVC with foam on them, wearing fencing helmets, and then they went into the different types of knives they sell and the grips and, you know, keep your knife sharp and all that kind of stuff. So I wasn't that impressed, but it was, you know, it was good to watch. Kind of gets you in that kind of mindset to do the show. Jab and poke and slash. Reading about you know, Blagojevich, if I pronounce that right, Rod Blagojevich, or however you say his name, Blagojevich or whatever. One of Obongo's cronies, you know, they've been debating his trial, former governor, for conspiracy to sell Obongo's seat. And the jury keeps sending notes back, and the latest one has said that there are some things that they cannot decide upon. Now, I don't know if this fares well or not for the defendant and his brother, but to me, it should be making Obongo nervous. I honestly believe if he gets convicted, Blagojevich is going to spill the beans on Obongo on that. I don't get much into politics. You guys know that here. I just poke fun at them when they do stupid stuff and tell you what the answer is. But this little melodrama is going to be good, especially if he gets convicted. He's going to be demanding interviews from his prison cell, you know, wherever he's at, whatever tennis court, federal prison that he's going to be at. And unless he's bought off or paid off, or killed, maybe Obongo will have him killed, but he's going to tell the truth about how Obongo was involved in that. So that's kind of interesting. But I got a really neat, it's not a news article, it's kind of an opinion piece on something that's going on in Arizona. Everybody's focused on this new bill that allows Arizona law enforcement to, you know, go after illegal aliens, that kind of thing, and, you know, and they got the injunction and all that. But people forget that back in January, there was another law that was passed that said that you couldn't employ them or rent houses to them. Do you guys remember that? Well, the impact of that one is starting to be felt now in Mexico. You know, that one kind of slipped under the media. They're not jumping all over it because they can't argue against, you know, it's illegal to hire illegals. So, but this is a little story, an opinion piece that was sent to me by Harry Thomas. I love this one. The shoe is on the other foot, and the Mexicans from the state of Sonora, Mexico, do not like it. Can you believe the nerve of these people? It's almost funny. The state of Sonora is angry at the influx of Mexicans into Mexico. Now, I'm going to let that one sink in. The state of Sonora is angry about the influx of Mexicans into Mexico. Because they can't get jobs now, and they can't find places to live, and they're losing their homes. Just basic, some economy stuff here as well as the law. They're going back to Sonora from Arizona, and it's having an impact. 9 state legislators from the Mexican state of Sonora traveled to Tucson to complain about the Arizona's new employer crackdown on illegals from Mexico. It seems that many Mexican illegals are returning to their hometowns, and the officials in the Sonora state government are ticked off. It's like rats, you know, fleeing the ship and getting on another ship that they originally came from. And everybody, hey, I know these were originally our rats, but come on. A delegation of 9 state legislators from Sonora was in Tucson on Tuesday to state that Arizona's new employer sanctions law will have a devastating effect on the Mexican state. Well, it's had a devastating effect on our states. Now it's their turn. At a news conference, the legislators said that Sonora, Arizona's southern neighbor, made up of mostly small towns, cannot handle the demand for, get this, housing, jobs, and schools that it will face as Mexican workers return to their hometowns from the USA without jobs or money. As they're repatriated, forced over, they self-extricate, they self-deport themselves. I'm surprised they're not doing like the Jews did in Egypt during the Exodus. They didn't just grab everything of value and go with them. I think that's more what I thought was going to happen, and it still may happen, that, you know, depending on how the atmosphere gets, and if we fight and confront these people more to get them out of our country, things are going to start getting nasty, and they're going to start taking stuff with them, because the picture down there, the situation isn't very good down there either. They've destroyed that country already. So then when they come up here, and now the politicians who are, you know, happy to send them over here don't want them coming back. And I find this beyond comical. It's the first time, when I first read this, I was laughing so hard I thought I was going to pee myself. It was that funny. The Arizona law, which took effect January 1st, punishes Arizona employers who knowingly hire individuals without valid legal documents to work in the United States. Penalties include suspension of or loss of their business license. Now, the Mexican legislators are angry because their own citizens are returning to their hometowns, placing a burden on their governments. How can Arizona pass a law like this? Asked Mexican Representative Leticia Amparo Gomez, or Gamez, there's an A in there, Gamez, who represents Nogales. There is not one person living in Sonora who does not have a friend or relative living in Arizona, she said, speaking in Spanish, of course. Mexico is not prepared for this, for the tremendous problems it will face as more and more Mexicans working in Arizona or who are sending money to their families returning to their hometowns in Sonora without jobs, she said. We are one family socially and economically, she said, of the people of Sonora and Arizona. So great. It's funny. They're admitting that if it wasn't for the repatriation of American dollars, that their economy sucks. I mean, it's bad as it is. They're like, everybody's going to be impacted because these deadbeats are going to come back and live with their families back there. And there isn't one person who doesn't have a friend or family, she says. Boy, it's funny when the heat gets turned up how they start telling the truth. These were their people that they didn't want. These were the Palestinians of this hemisphere. It's just like all the Arab nations don't want the Palestinians. They want them to stay over there and irritating Israel, which I think is great. You know, let the two grind it out. But these illegal aliens are our Palestinian question. We deal with them a little nicer than Israel does, though, don't we? Maybe there's some things about Israel that should be respected. But this Leticia, I love that name. My name is Leticia Amparo Gamez, G-A-M-E-Z, from Nogales, is saying, we're not ready for the impact. Can you imagine what it's going to be like in a Mexican emergency room now in the Sonora, the state of Sonora? Now, the next part I'm going to read is the author's commentary, and I agree with it. And so it's not my opinion, but I back it up. Wrong! The United States is a sovereign nation, not a subsidiary of Mexico, which you're saying we're all big one big family, and its taxpayers are not responsible for the welfare of Mexico's citizens. It's time for the Mexican government and the citizens to stop feeding parasitically off the United States and to start taking care of their own needs. And they are parasites. Mexico wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the nation of the United States. It wouldn't be there. It would be a series of smaller states embroiled in road warrior-like... wait a minute. They are. they are an outhouse of the world. New immigration laws read read to the bottom or you will miss the message. Okay. There will be no special bilingual programs in the schools. Now, this of course, is going into what Mexico does. Mexico may be imposing illegal immigration laws against their own citizens that are trying to repatriate. These are the laws, and you guys have all heard them, but it's worth repeating what Mexico's immigration laws are. What they impose on others coming into their country to live as non-resident or as resident aliens. There will be no special bilingual programs in the schools. A lot of these kids going back from Arizona that are going back with their parents don't speak Mexican. And I do say Mexican because I hate saying Spanish. All ballots will be in the nation's language. Those that are smart enough to vote won't be allowed to vote because they won't be able to read it. All government business will be conducted in our language, which is Mexican. Number four, non-residents will not have the right to vote no matter how long they are here. I don't know how Mexico does it. Will the children of... of these repatriated Mexicans going back to Sonora have automatic citizenship? Or will they be Americans? Are they going to have to get green cards for their kids when they cross back over the border? Non-citizens will never be able to hold political office. Yeah, yeah. Another Mexican law there. Foreigners will not be a burden to the taxpayers. No welfare, no food stamps, no health care, no other government assistance programs, any burden, and they will be deported. Foreigners can invest in this country, but it must be an amount at least equal to 40,000 times the daily minimum wage. So what about these people that are going back? These guys that married, naturalized American women, and they're bringing them back with them because there's no more jobs if the families stick together. You know, everybody's crying, this is going to break up families. I hope Mexico imposes these laws. It'd be funny. If foreigners come here and buy land, Options will be restricted. Certain parcels, including waterfront property, are reserved for citizens naturally born into the country. So they can't go to Baja and set up shop there, you know, with their little landscaping businesses. Foreigners may have no protests, no demonstrations, no waving of a foreign flag, no political organizing, no bad-mouthing of our president or his policies. These will lead to deportation. So all these first-generation Mexicans are getting dragged back with their illegal alien parents. All these anchor babies being dragged back across the border, this is what they're going to be facing. If you do come to this country illegally, you will be actively hunted. When caught, sent to jail until your deportation can be arranged. All assets will be taken from you. That's the immigration law of Mexico. I think we should adopt that word for word. I think we should adopt that word for word. So I want to thank them for sending this in to me. I don't know exactly who sent it to me. But it's... I'm going to go back to the chat room here. Mexico is a huge nipple pig that has been sucking from America's taxpayer. A huge nipple pig? I'm trying to think nipple pig. I've never heard that phrase before, Warren. But wouldn't it be great if they imposed, you know, those rules? Sadly enough, they may deport these American children of these illegals back here. And it's going to create another layer of controversy. But I think it's great. And I hope they all flee. We need to make the atmosphere as unruly as possible. And I know it never happens. I ask for it, and I tell people if all the white folks and American folks and... Hello. I'm going to say good morning. Hello. Are living here in America, if they just stood up for this, and when they showed, you know, like they had their day without a Mexican, and there are 500,000 of them, if 3 million Americans showed up and just said go, and just kept chanting, go home, go home, go home. But it doesn't happen. There's not the resolve on our side of it. I guess things aren't desperate enough. Okay. But when they start sending these anchor kids back over here, because they are indeed, even by our own law, American citizens, what's going to happen? What happens if Mexico shuts its border to all these fleeing economic refugees that are trying to get home to Mexico? Is this going to instigate or wake people up at all? Is there going to be a Mexican version of the Minuteman sitting on the other side of the border going, yeah, you two can come through, but these kids, they're not Mexican citizens. Now, maybe I'm over-wishing this because I'm sure they probably have a mechanism that the children of our children's children are still citizens. You know, a lot of countries allow dual citizenship, even though we supposedly don't. Even though we have a lot of Israelis here and British people here that I've met that have dual citizenship just by default. They're allowed to go back and forth between the two countries, you know, one of their birth, one of their choice. But I find it great that the Sonoran state is sending delegates over to... Arizona to complain about Arizona's laws. You're causing an over, you know, our homeless shelters. Wait, let's look at it. Look at all their orphanages, their homeless shelters, their aid programs. Who actually funds those? Americans. You know how many churches run orphanages from America that are running them in Mexico? How many outreach programs, how many food programs there are that are funded out of America? We're still going to be on our burden, but at least it'll be people voluntarily giving money, not counting all the government money we send to Mexico. We're just moving them across an imaginary line in the desert because that's what the New World Order has done to us. Our borders are now imaginary lines, but we're going to send them all back down there and maybe put the burden. It won't be on the Mexican government. It won't be on the families of Mexico. It'll be all these do-gooder agencies here in the United States that have been fostering this sense of entitlement down there in Mexico. If you want to donate your money to Mexico, I'm not going to complain. I am not going to complain about that. That's your choice to do with your money. But when the government comes with a gun and threatens to imprison Americans, throwing them in prison if they don't give the money, that's the difference. But at least they'll be there and not here. They'll be killing other Mexicans and not killing Americans. 24 a day killed by illegal aliens. 24 a day. Be nice to say that. Get the DUIs out of there. Get the and then the less you know, the armed robberies, the gang violence, graffiti will go away. If only the other states had the guts to do what Arizona did. You know, we do have laws on the books in California that you can't hire illegal aliens, but no magistrate will enforce them. The California lottery is aid to Mexico, too. I wouldn't be surprised. There's so many, this is what Warlin said in the chat room, there's so much money that just pours into Mexico from the rest of the world. I remember I was on YouTube one time debating, you know, they had these Mexican drug enforcement officers bragging about all their stuff and all their training and how well they were going to do against the narco terrorists. Every single piece of equipment came from America. And I'm sure the trainers that went down and trained them were from America. You know, so it's almost as if Mexico wouldn't even exist if it weren't for the naivete, the stupidity, and the donations, both forced and voluntarily given, of the American people. I say let them complain. Keep forcing them down there any way you can. Make life just a living hell for illegal aliens in this country. If you're a law enforcement officer, which I'd be surprised if you're listening to this show, given my attitude towards you guys, but if you want to do the right thing, harass, harangue, just make their lives living hell. Pull them over for every little thing. I mean, they're going to pay that penalty, pay that traffic fine with welfare money or with farm subsidy money. I mean, I'm beyond the point of being nice about this, but it doesn't sound very Christian. If you've got illegal aliens living next door to you, unleash on them. Call the housing commission and say, hey, there's 47 people living in their garage. Call every day. Get the neighbors to call. Now, I know yesterday I told people who do that are weasels. This is different. This is against our enemy. They are the enemy of this nation. They're sent here to be economic terrorists by the New World Order. The more we can send back to Mexico, either as economic refugees or legal refugees, however you want to call it, the more impact, the more burden it's going to put on Mexico, the quicker it's going to fall apart. And the sooner it falls apart, two things of what I think are going to happen. The Lord will anoint someone over there to be a true patriot for freedom and liberty, and they'll restore their country the way it should be. Or two, it's going to fall completely apart. They'll send in the UN and everything, and that'll just get this thing moving farther down the line. Either way, the plan of the Lord served. I have no problem. I'm not an empire builder, but if Mexico would destroy itself to a certain point where we just have to annex it, you know, make it Puerto Rico too and take over its oil. I mean, I hate sending troops over to Iraq, but if sending troops, you know, a couple hundred miles south of San Diego would do something to keep them out of our country, fine. And we've already exiled all of our industry everywhere anyway. A lot of it's in Mexico right now. Why not take it back? Wouldn't that be funny? All those businesses under NAFTA and GATT, that's fled to Mexico to get slave labor suddenly become re-annexed into the United States. I'm just speaking off the top of my head here. There's no real plan here, but wouldn't that be funny? You know, all those television and automotive companies that went down there so they could pay a dollar a day or whatever it is. And then suddenly we go back down there and we take them back, and these corporate whores that run them will have to, oh, man. Of course, they'll probably just run farther south. They'll go to Venezuela. They'll go overseas. Speaking of that, did you hear the latest thing? You know how the EPA said that carbon emissions were a toxic gas and they had to regulate them without any legislation or anything, just make up laws. Well, now they're doing the same thing for mercury and concrete. They're going after the concrete manufacturers in America, and they're gonna shut them down, which means we'll have to buy concrete from China. All these companies, you know, and I went and did some research, and they a lot of these companies are 5 to 10% over what they consider a legal limit for mercury in their concrete. Now, there's no evidence, there's no empirical data, there's nothing that shows that walking out on concrete that has a little bit of mercury in it, there's probably more mercury in tuna fish. But there's just another attack internally against our own from a so-called government agency that will do what they can to destroy another industry. Get rid of all the cement, made in America. What is that going to do? It's going to raise construction prices. Everything's going to go up. We have to buy it from China. And I guarantee you the cement coming from China is going to be nasty. If the drywall's any indication, if the dog food's any indication. We cannot just sit back and watch this happen anymore. The fact that you're listening to a show like this shows that you are part of a resistance mindset. not just resistance to everything, not resistance to authority, not resistance to just authority, but resistance to this ridiculous tyranny that's been going, and it is ridiculous, the fact that it's gone on so long. When they can come in and regulate everything like this, I mean, they've destroyed the auto industry, they're going after the commercial real estate next. Stock market today was tumbling again. It's just another ebb and flow where they get schmucks to invest and they get more of your money. You invest, it goes up for a few days in a row, everybody runs and pours their money back into it, liquidates their gold and silver, goes and cashes in the college funds, oh, it's back, the recovery's here, and then 3 or 4 days tumble. It's just a redistribution of wealth mechanism. You would be better served to take all your savings, buy one big poker chip for whatever it is, $50,000, $60,000 or whatever it is, and go to Vegas and just put it on red and let that guy behind the counter spin that roulette wheel. Yeah, at least you have a 50-50 chance of doubling your money. You have about a 90% chance of losing your money in the stock market, because watch how they do it. It goes in cycles. It ebbs and it flows. It's like a mower. It's like a guy reaping wheat back and forth, back and forth. Oh, man, I got to take a look at that. Warland saying that he's got a picture of his dog up, probably on Facebook, where his dog that was killed by the Chinese dog food. Yeah, I knew a lot of people who their dogs got really sick. I didn't know anybody who's died, but that's terrible. But that's what we're getting into here. There must be a lag, another lag in the player, but doesn't mean we can't go back and discuss these things. It's all part of the plan, all part of it. Now, Lou's not here yet. He was setting up a camera, and he's not back yet, and we got 2 minutes for the break. We may talk right through the break, and then when he comes back in, he'll come running in. You'll hear him panting, and what we'll do is we'll get him to play the music and stuff so we can actually do a break. We need to rearrange it so I can have the computer next to me. Oh, here he comes. Good job. You're like 2 minutes early. Everything okay over there? Give me my keys so we don't lose them. Thank you, brother. There you go. But just more signs that weirdness is going on. I've got a couple other articles I'm going to talk about, but I don't want to lightly go over some of these things that we're discussing right now. I think it's a great victory that we're causing a burden in Sonora. I think it's another sign of tyranny what the EPA is doing. Like I said, there's probably more mercury in the tuna fish that I eat every day. They're just going to keep regulating and regulating. And I read an article today that said you cannot be a true environmentalist if you still buy meat and dairy products, because the number one destroyer of the environment and producing methane and carbon footprint stuff is the production of meat and dairy products. They're creating this mindset where we're all going to be a bunch of veggie-munching, cardboard box-living, you know, government-bowing servitude slaves. And they're using the earth. They're switching. The new religion will be earth worship. That's what they're doing here. You know, they use this legislation. We've got to save the earth. If we don't get rid of this mercury in the sidewalks. Well, there's the music. We'll be back after the break. I'm Dutch Jones. Thanks for listening. We'll be right back after this.
How the tears of joy shall flow, and our smiles will beam and glow, when those bad old foes we fought for years finally fall from one last blow. Give up on hope too soon, girl, before this day arrives. Just heave a sigh and try to dry all these teardrops from your eyes. 'Cause there's still time for me and you. There's still love to see us through. There's still miles of road we've yet to travel, and so much we still can do. So won't you choose, girl, to lose these blues, and remember this, my friend, that it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell.
out until the big old friendly fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go, so we might as well hang tough till the end. 'Cause it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over, girl, until we win. Whenever I stop and think about the many times we faced impossible odds, when the hopelessness and despair felt so intense that we didn't think we could hold out any longer, yet time and again we were given the grace to overcome those odds and the courage to keep fighting the fight. What it proves to me is we've got angels watching over us, girl. So if we can just keep our hope alive for a little bit longer and keep on believing in the promise that the truth will one day set us free, then there shall be a glorious future awaiting us. For I've read the end of the story, and it's not over until we win. Yeah, now there's still time for me and you. Oh, there's still love to see us through. Yeah, there's still miles of road we've yet to travel, and so much we still can do. So won't you choose now to lose these blues, and remember this, my friend, that it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over till our adversary's down for the count. It's not over till the last bell rings. It's not over till the crowd stands up to scream and shout, until the big old smiling fat lady sings. And as far as I know, we got a ways yet to go, so we might as well hang tough till the end. 'Cause it's not over, girl, until we win. No, it's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, girl, until we win. It's not over, child, until we win. It's not over, girl, until we win. Until we win, until we win, until we win. It's not over, girl, until we win. Until we win, until we win, until we win.
In the best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival escape routes and plans and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family. Get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order. A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
A brain, 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 brain.
all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel.
We'll put out all points bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
Nothing, Lou? You got nothing funny to say? We're back. This is the Dutch Jones radio program. Things are picking up on Facebook. I'm getting a lot of comments over there. I appreciate that. People are still talking about the Dakota fire hole, and that's good. Somebody's saying you should sell those online. Sell the Dakota fire hole. That would be funny. Yeah, it's basically just a hole in the ground. I could sell a piece of paper that shows you how to do it and maybe a digging stick, but that's pretty much what I would do.
Autograph pockets.
Let's see. Next one. Let's see. Hal Hustis. Whenever there is a war on, in front of the next word statement is always translates, we are going to take the people's money and do any blank thing we want to with it. Oh, yeah. That problem you thought we were going to spend the money on? Psych. That's true. I don't know. It's kind of funny here. Somebody sent me that comment. I got a really good email right now from someone claiming to be from the United Farm Workers Union. Christopher Stephan, Stephan, a UFW representative. Thank you for inquiring and commenting about the Take Our Jobs campaign. We would like to work with you to assist you in finding employment as a farm worker. They must be listening. They must be listening because I said that we're looking for work. Although the UFW is not an employment agency, we want to connect you with a free government service in your state through the Employment Development Department in your area. And it's got a link here to go to EDD. What it is basically is they're telling me, hey, we can get you a job in the fields. I think that's funny. Please note, agricultural employment is a combination of seasonal and non-seasonal work that varies in each state. In order to secure farm worker positions, certain states and or farms might have you relocate at your own expense. Yeah, I'll go to Arizona and work in the fields now that all the illegals are being kicked out. You know, I will go there and pick lettuce. I already work outdoor in the heat, you know, here. Why not? That's funny. So somebody from the UFW is listening. I don't know if this is a prank or what. That's funny. United Farm Workers Union. United Farm Workers. They are united. United in what? I don't know. But that is hilarious that I got that email. But anyway, we're back. Oh, I got to go back to the article that I was going to bring up next. You folks listening? Are you listening?
Yeah.
Well, you can call in if you want to. The phone's not... I got it all figured out now. The phone's working today. 559-561-8225. 559-561-8225. You can email me just as the representative from the United Farm Workers Union. You must be one of the guests at DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. That's DutchJonesShow at yahoo.com. So that's where we're at. You can email me your comments, suggestions, ideas. Let's see here. Let me find this article. Now, this one I'm going to spend some time on because this is something that I don't understand when they just put this out in the media. I don't know if they're trying to scare us, show us that they have the power, but this is something I would have assumed that they would do without even letting us know. And I've always assumed that this is something that's been existent. And this is from Adam Cohen. And it just it doesn't give a news agency. It says, Adam Cohen, the Internet kill switch debate. Aims of bill unclear. Here's an idea. How about creating an Internet kill switch so the government can shut off the Internet when it decides it is necessary? Oh, he's from Time Magazine. It just popped up. Time Magazine. That may sound absurd, but a lot of people are convinced that this is already in the works. How many? Google the words Internet kill switch and you will find out. Now, those of you that know Google and Yahoo and all these groups that are in China, they actually gave the government kill switches to shut down their systems and to seek out people that were searching the wrong things. So the technology is already there. It's being used in China. So now there are people that want to do it here in America. What has them worried here in America is the Protecting Cyberspace as a National Asset Act. So that's Protecting Cyberspace as a National Asset Act. Sponsored by independent, here we go, Senator Joseph Lieberman of Connecticut, Republican Susan Collins of Maine, and Democrat Tom Carper of Delaware. The bill aims to make it easier for the government to respond to internet-based attacks that threaten national security, i.e. Patriot sites, i.e. you and me. And it's funny that Lieberman's in here. Isn't Lieberman the one that the Republicans always wave? Oh, Lieberman's the good guy. He's the good liberal. He's a Zionist Jew, and look what he's trying to do to the internet. Online issues often break down along partisan lines, but liberals and conservatives are both worried that the Lieberman-Collins-Carper bill could turn the president into an internet overlord. It has been a hot topic on the left-leaning blog Daily Cause, KOS, which one poster urged fellow readers to tweet the White House saying, "We do not support the internet kill switch." On the right-leaning Red State blog, a poster recently railed against the bill under the headlines "Obama Orwellian Control of the Internet." A letter to Lieberman, Collins, and Carper expressing concern about the effect of the bill on civil liberties was signed by the ACLU and the very liberal National Lawyers Guild, and on the other end of the spectrum by the Citizens Committee for the Right to Keep and Bear Arms and Liberty Guard, which has sued the federal government to stop the new National Health Care Reform Act from taking effect. Now, those of you that don't know, a lot of people that are using the internet don't realize what it is. It is a military asset. You and I are allowed to use it the same way that we're allowed to use GPS satellites. It was put up there by the military, just like the GPS satellites. And they have the right to turn it off, manipulate it, use it for whatever purpose they want. The backbone of the internet, and this may have changed over the past few years, but originally was through state and federally run facilities, colleges, military institutions, government contractors. The backbone of the internet, you know, that Al Gore invented, was through government agencies. When I went to Colorado State University, they had these large mainframe computers that were part of the internet. When I was in the Army, we used the internet for background searches and stuff as a military policeman, and we went through different universities, but they were military-owned infrastructure, military government grants that researched it and helped it grow. If you think for a minute that there isn't some crude switch that they can throw now, you're daydreaming. What they want to be able to do is selectively shut it down. They want to be like China. They want to say, okay, Google, you can't have anybody look up the word liberty or resistance or constitution. We can't let our people talk to people outside like they do in the Middle East. That's what they want. They want to take the modern technology and apply it to the tyranny that they already have. Now, it's not hard to see why everyone is so worried. Imagine a president misusing this particular power. If the people are rising up against an unpopular administration, I can't believe Time Magazine wrote this, the president could cool things down by shutting off a large swath of the internet. He could target certain geographical regions, which we've heard enough from New York or California for a while, or he could single out a particular website, right? Why is Time Magazine putting this out? What are they warning us about? I mean, Time Magazine isn't exactly a patriotic rag, is it? But that's what they can do. This is the equivalent of the king during the American Revolution saying the letters of correspondence are illegal, no more couriers, no more posting of documents on trees. Remember the Liberty Tree? Where does that come from? It's where they posted documents, written letters, you know, invoking God-given rights against the tyrant. So what they want to do is be able to cut down that tree. Nothing has changed. It's just the technological advancements. Now, the government certainly has a record of overusing authority. It is given when national security is involved. We saw that a few years ago in the Bush administration's domestic wiretapping program, people. And there, do you think they stopped? Do you think they just went, oh, okay, we don't need to wiretap Americans anymore? I mean, if we've got a guy from the United Farm Workers listening in on this show right now, you can bet that other guest or other two guests in there, one of them is a government stooge. Or they may not even have to appear in the chat room to listen to this show. I love it. Time magazine saying that the government has a record of overstepping its rights. The sponsors of the cybersecurity bill insist that the bill would not give the president an internet kill switch. Senator Lieberman expressly labels this as a myth, and that the Senate website, Senator Collins, has said it's been frustrating to read the report of an internet kill switch. In fact, she has argued the bill would limit rather than expand the president's power. Yeah, remember what they told us about the health care bill? There would be no new taxes about it. There would be no force this. There would be no force that. They lie about everything that they put through, and then they put it through, and then you find out right in the middle of the bill. And who knows what else is hidden in this bill? So would the bill actually create an internet kill switch? It doesn't seem that the bill does the way it's written, it's saying here. But it's hard to say with any precision what it would do, and that is the problem in the bill. Now, for those of you that don't know, under the Communications Act of 1934, the president already has really broad power to shut down wired communications, which include the internet. They write their laws open-ended. The Constitution was an encased law, set of laws. You can't do this. You can do nothing else other than these things. Well, the Federal Communications Act of 1934 was open-ended. And they can shut it down if there's a threat of war. Now, when she says that the bill, you know, this is Collins, would limit the president's power, she means it would not impose any more restrictions than are already set up in the 1934 Act. Do you understand that? All they're doing is setting up a funding bill to work in coordination with the 1934 Communications Act, where they were allowed to do telegraphs, teletypes. And even though it says Wire Act, Communications Act, satellites, telephones, cell phones, it's all under there. They don't even need a judge anymore to write a warrant. They just randomly search the airwaves and the net now for information. Critics of the bill point out that it expands the president's power over the internet in a key respect. The 1934 law only applies when there is war or threat of war. Well, who's going to argue the threat of war? If you and I are saying that we have to overthrow tyranny, isn't that a threat of war against the beast right there? Well, the new law would not allow the president to act even when there is not a war or threat of war. All I can say is it gives him power to act where he wouldn't necessarily have the power to act under existing law, says Lee Tian, a lawyer with the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Every law that we allow them to pass, every law that we just wave on by, they expand on it, they misinterpret it in any way. The bill authorizes the president to declare cyber emergencies. And what happens next is fairly unclear, because that's how they do it. They use a vagueness of words. He would be able to restrict parts of the internet that relate to critical infrastructures, but it's hard to know what exactly falls under that category and how far the president could go in closing it down. What authority the government would have is not laid out at all in the law, says Michelle Richardson, a lawyer with the Washington office of the ACLU. Kind of weird. Maybe the communists want to use the internet too. Now, the Lieberman-Collins-Carper bill has some built-in protections also, including a prohibition on identifying targets based solely on activities protected by the First Amendment, and give the sponsors credit for this. The bill has been changing and improving as it moves through the Senate. They're having to compromise to get it through. But they're going to put little nuggets in there that will be interpreted any way they want, folks. There's a problem. Even lawyers like Tana Richardson, whose job it is to monitor the bill, say they are not certain what it would do and how far it would go. This is like the whole concept of the loose cannon. Let's just craft a law, vote on it, not even knowing what it encompasses, i.e. the Patriot Act. How many people pass that without reading it? Everybody but Ron Paul. Given how important the internet has become to freedom of speech, political organizing, and daily life, it's not a power that we should hand over lightly. We are entitled to know exactly what the government is doing at all times in these issues, folks. Every law that goes through because of the add-ons that they do needs to be scrutinized if you still want to obey that beast. For me, I have a flat statement for all these laws. They don't pertain to me. I'm not a citizen of any federal government. I'm not a citizen of the United States. It is defunct, and I have nothing to do with it. Now, that doesn't mean they're not going to turn off this internet, and I'm not going to be able to to talk to you anymore. I tell you guys that all the time. They'll push one button, it'll flush, we're done. Pastor's already down there early. Wow. He must be doing watering. This is a very important story. I should be screaming at people about this, but I'm not. Because I've screamed in the past and nobody listened. I talked about NAFTA earlier. We're only saying, I don't believe they could shut down the internet because they would shut down the banking at the same time. That is a different structure. Worland, they have spent billions of dollars in the last 10 years setting up a separate structure for banking. There's a separate fiber optic structure that goes throughout the entire United States that is for banking. So no, they wouldn't shut down banking if they shut down the internet. They did that saying it needed to be secure, protected, and separate, trunked in its own lines. If a bank is using the regular internet, it's not for primary purposes of banking at this time. It's not for security systems. I've got kind of a secondary background in this because I had a buddy that was trying to train me to get a job as a fiber optics person. And I recently found out that an old friend of mine owns a fiber optic company and is doing a lot of this kind of stuff. So I've been getting kind of an education in how the system works. They have stacked systems that are separate, can be intertwined if they need to, but they can be specifically, they're like train tracks. They don't want a train going down a certain track, they can reroute it on the old copper system. They've got microwave systems. They've got satellite systems. But the banking system has its own fiber optic system. And the way I found out about that one day, I was working with a friend of mine, and we got called out. He was a contractor for AT&T, and they said some guy with a backhoe destroyed this line going through Orange, City of Orange. My friend got out his laptop, looked up where it was, and said, "Mister, you're in a lot of trouble. You just shut down half the banking in LA. This is a banking trunk system that's used by every single bank in the area here. And it's probably about $250,000 a minute that's going to be, he goes, if you have insurance, it's not going to be enough. You need to get your backhoe out of here and go get a lawyer." My friend was really straightforward and cool to him. You know, most of the guys that he'd yell at, but this guy was ruined. And it took about 16 hours to resplice every little single one of those fiber optic doohickeys. I helped on some of them. It was kind of cool. Use a little laser and weld them together. It's a neat skill to have. That's why I asked to do it. But it's a separate system. The Defense Department has its own separate system, but the one that you and I use, the generic one, is the original one that's been built on and built on and built on. I'm surprised it stays up as long as it does, to be honest with you. I'm surprised that with, you know, the old copper wire systems, that we're still able to do what we're doing. Granted, we're going satellite to somewhere else. I don't even know where this signal goes. A lot of public safety now is all microwave. So that they think it's secure, but I'm sure that there's technology out there. You just stick an antenna up in it and record it, and you know you can do what you want. You just have to get in the face. I have view of a large set of microwave towers, and I look at them through my 60 power spotting scope, and you can see them up there. And they're Lord knows what's going through their phone lines, business, whatever. But because of national defense, they did separate them out. The one you're letting us use, that they're letting us use, I'm not sure what the purpose in this one is. I apologize for all the pauses, but I'm getting sick as I sit here. This is kind of strange, actually. We've got some bug going around up here, and it's been hitting everybody but a couple people. And as we watch them, we're like wondering, why are they immune to it? And I don't know if I'm going to make it for a second hour. And we may end up playing music longer over the break, because in about 5 minutes, I'm going to be running for El Latrino. Sorry to share too much information with you, but just wanted to let you know why I was pausing. It's not something weird in the feed. I'm trying to keep something down here. How are you feeling, Lou?
Fine.
It's unusual. You ate the same things I ate today, right?
Yeah.
Of course, you've been eating a little healthier, apples and such. I had sausage and eggs. Folks, this, we can't let these things slip by us unnoticed. We must be thankful that the Lord is working on Time Magazine's editors to let a story like this go out. This is not something that we should just poo-poo and go, "Oh, well, what's the difference?" Too many of us rely upon the internet as the primary and almost singular source for our information. You guys got to back this stuff up. You hear about on Liberty Tree Radio, they're doing the Golden Spike Project, shortwave radios, everything you can do. Granted, this is the easiest, quickest, swiftest, neatest way to do it. But I've got a shortwave transmitter over there in the other room, and the minute they do hit the kill switch, I'll be up at the same time, just on a frequency somewhere, and we'll have to figure out how to get you guys there. Maybe I should start telling people ahead of time what frequencies we should be on. What it'll do is it'll be right next to somebody else. I'll like find Voice of America. I'll be just below them, so people scanning by with really good receivers will hear me. Because we don't... Excuse me, folks. We don't have a lot of power for it. I think it's a 100-watt transmitter, which those of you that are ham operators know more about that than I would. I'm fighting an uphill battle here. Get me a bucket. That would be... No, I'll be fine. I can hold it down. Can you imagine that? I'd never done that on radio in my life. I once dropped a sandwich on a turntable that sounded terrible, and I screamed and yelled and had to fix it, but I was eating over the turntable. It's something... Those of you that don't know what turntables are, those are what you played LPs on. This is just another indicator the Lord's given us that we have to make preparations to counter this, to have workarounds, and to realize that everything we do, everything on this show, every email we send, if they don't already read them, they want to be able to stop them. It shows that they're scared, too. I mean, that's a whole other tangent we could go with this. If they're talking about just turning off our internet, they are scared to death of us. They think it's a tool that will shut us down. It will shut down the cyber militias, yeah. It'll shut down the paper tigers, because that's all they're in it for. All the patriots, like Alex Jones and stuff, will be done. They'll still be on shortwave, too, but they won't be able to make their money without the internet, these patriots, PAYTRIOTS. The real patriots are going to find ways to get it out. And if that means we go back to the Pony Express and letter, you know, committee of correspondence, committees of vigilance, and we just start passing, you know, we got a printing press here at the church because of this. Our pastor was forward thinking. He got a press of some kind. He used to do newsletters on it back in the 90s and you know, up until recently when the internet made it easier for us to do outreach. We'll turn that thing on again and start, you know, put Lou on the back of a horse, have him running around handing out flyers. It'll be the new Paul Revere. We can't ignore the old technology because they can't control that printing press. Sure, they can shoot our writer, but there'll always be another writer, right? They can try and find it and smash it, but we can always do it handwritten, right? There will always be poor Richards. There will always be resistors. There will always be people that can get the message out. They don't understand that because they're weak. They don't understand how strong our resistance is because we are in a holy cause of resistance. There can be no compromise on this, and we need to use this as an indicator to prepare ourselves better. I mean, you've got... is Scotty still here? Scotty right now? Scotty 38 transmitting this signal over CB. Worland says carrier pigeons carrying memory sticks. Yeah. They're going to shoot every pigeon. What they'll do is they'll release a pigeon virus. Hello, Stacy. Stacy's here. But it's sad, but we can't let this stop us. We can't let this slow us down. I'm extremely sick. You don't want to... I'm trying not to throw up right now. Don't kiss me.
Oh.
Yeah, you don't want to not go to work your last 3 days. Folks, I don't know if I'm going to be back after the prank. I'm hurting. But what will happen is when Liberty Tree Radio kicks in, they'll just get the whole first show. Lou, I want you to stay here and stay in the chat room. If I don't come back, just stop the show and then let it play through because I'm going to go hurl and other stuff. So, folks, this may just be a one-hour episode today. I got some kind of bug. But thank you for listening. Go check out the website. Check out DutchJones.tk. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to be at a remote location tomorrow, and we won't have a phone line. Not that anybody called in today. But just keep up your support. I got an email today that somebody sent us off some cash. Thank you very much. And know that you guys know this, that if they push the button and they shut down the internet, I will find a way to reach you. Okay? Okay, we'll be back after the break. Maybe. The odds are right now 80-20 against. So just be ready to handle it, Lou. You're going to do the show, Lou.
Ignoring your constituents, and now we're mad as hell. We're fighting back with ballots, cause our liberty is not for sale. Our Constitution doesn't give Congress power to rule. We shouldn't fear government, tyranny's for fools. Amendment 1, Section 8, healthcare's not the feds. To regulate, it's where you know you shouldn't tread. Nah, you shouldn't be treading there. You left us with no choice. It's time for us to act. You're stealing our future, our freedom's under attack. Americans uniting, fighting back in 2010. Remember Massachusetts, we're in this fight to win. We'll just vote all y'all out. Oh, you tax the hard-earned money to buy the votes you need.